Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Q2 2023 financial earnings call. Together with my colleagues Wolfgang and Riad, I will guide you through the key developments of the second quarter of this year. In summary, we are happy to report that despite the challenging economic environment and the low consumer sentiment, we have been able to return to profitability and to increase our revenue by 4.3% in Q2 compared to Q2 2022. By this, we have outperformed the market, which had to record significant revenue declines, as I am going to show you on one of our next slides. Just to give you an example, the online jewelry market declined by 17% in Q2. In contrast to this, with our web shop, we have been able to grow our revenues by 15% Q2 on Q2. Moreover, we increased our new web customers by 21%, while at the same time keeping the online marketing cost at a stable level. From our Q1 financial earnings call, you might remember the program we have launched to improve the operational sales and cost performance. And I'm happy to say that we are on track with this program and that it is showing its positive effects, bringing us back to a positive adjusted EBITDA with 266K. Our innovative video shopping app, Jooli, continues its dynamic development. The channels in India are growing to more than 1,500 channels. Moreover, we are making great progress with the scalability, reducing the cost per new channel and per customer. And as Wolfgang is going to present you, there's a significant milestone ahead. We are preparing the launch of the in-app payment function, Jooli Pay, which is already in beta testing. And moreover, we are continuing the development of Jooli's virtual reality app. So based on the fact that we are outperforming the market in this difficult economic situation, and thanks to the huge investment advantage we have also gained with the learnings from Jooli, we have launched a growth program called #Juvelo100. The target of this program is to increase the revenue of our core jewelry business to €100 million by 2030. In one of the upcoming slides, I am going to show you the main areas of development to get to this target. And finally, we confirm our outlook for 2023. So let me jump directly to this slide. Here you can see the development of our business since 2020. After 11 profitable quarters in Q1, we had to record the first negative quarter, and now in Q2, we returned to profitability. So let's take a look at the key developments in Q2. If we look at the general market situation, it's clear that Q2 took place under a highly challenging economic environment with a consumer sentiment that really remains very low. According to research that the Bundesverband E-Commerce und Versandhandel BVH has done, customers are still pessimistic about their real income expectations. They remain in a money-saving mode and are thinking twice about every purchase. And indeed, this low consumer sentiment had a significant impact on the retail industry. If we look at all relevant markets to which we can compare our business, we do always see a massive revenue decline. On the left in the graph, the revenue of the German online jewelry and watches market, which went down by 17% Q2 versus last year's quarter. The revenue of the electronic multi-channel market went down by 21%. The revenue of the German Teleshop shopping market went down by 19%. And in comparison to this, Illumio has been able to grow by 4.3%. I'm now going to present you some of the factors behind this outperformance of the market. Let me start with our life business, which accounts for roughly two-thirds of our total revenue. After revenue decline we had in Q1, we have been able to stabilize the revenue in Q2, also thanks to our loyal, active customer base. So as you can see, active customers increased by 3% in Q2. Moreover, we have been able to increase our new live business customers by 7%. This was also a result from our merchandise strategy that focused on jewelry items with suitable designs and price points for new customers. Speaking about merchandise strategy, on this slide, we can see the performance of new brands that we launched in 2023. In our live business, we measure product performance using the KPI called profit per show minute, PPM. The higher the profit per show minute, the better we are using the limited broadcasting time. And in 2023, we quickly reacted to the changed consumer preferences. And thanks to our close cooperation with local manufacturers and our fast supply chain, we have been able to launch several successful new brands and collections that are showing a clear above average PPM performance, as you can see in the graph on the left. At the same time, we have been able to keep a healthy and stable stock level and a gross profit margin that remained stable at above 50%. Let's come to our static webshop. The webshop has been the main growth driver of our business. In contrast to the online jewelry market that went down by 17%, we have been able to grow our revenues by 15% to 3.5 million euro. Let me point out three factors that have contributed to this growth. The first one is the successful marketing specials we did, retargeting, reactivation campaigns, automated individual personalized campaigns, bringing customers back in the webshop on a regular basis and increasing the number of active customers, as you can see on the right side, by 15%. The second factor is the successful implementation of artificial intelligence functions to drive sales. For example, a new AI-based search function on page that we have already implemented in Julie. And until the day before yesterday, we run an A/B test that has shown that this new function is improving the revenue by 8%. And finally, a very successful new customer acquisition that I'm going to show you on the next slide. So you might remember from our Q1 call that one element of our operational performance improvement plan was consisted in the online marketing improvements. And here you can see that we have been quite successful in doing this. We optimized marketing campaigns on Google, social media, and Criteo using AI-based algorithms that improve the targeting of potential new customers. And in addition, we optimized the landing page for new customers, creating a better new customer experience. And all this resulted in a clear increase of new customers by 21%, while we have been able to even slightly reduce the marketing cost. We have prepared our channels for scaling, and we expect to be able to further increase the amount of new customers by scaling the marketing channels in the upcoming months. I will now hand you over to Wolfgang, who will give you an update about Julie.
Good morning. As you recall, we continuously said that the biggest strategic topic for Julie to cover is the fact that due to the fact that Julie is a marketplace, we have to develop the platform in parallel. We have to develop the offer side of the platform, which is the content, channels, and merchants who offer their products on the platform. And at the same time, we have to increase the amount of users on the platform so that the platform is interesting for merchants to present their products, which in a result will make the platform more attractive for users and so on and so forth. In order to overcome this chicken and egg problem, we focused in the beginning on gaining momentum with merchants, because without an offer site, there is absolutely no attractiveness to users. And we helped merchants a lot in putting their offers on the platform. We helped them doing the videos, and we made a lot of support to make it as easy as possible for merchants to come onto the platform. We had the checkout on the websites of the merchants, so that for a merchant, there was a very low barrier of entry in order to offer their products on the platform. As we're now approaching the launch of JulyPay, which I'm going to elaborate on a little bit further in a couple of minutes, we will now shift the focus a little bit to users also. Not meaning that we're not going to focus on gaining content anymore, but it's users will also move into focus, and users will move into focus with four main components, which is: how much does it cost to acquire a new user? How is this user going to engage with the platform? So how much time does the user spend on the platform? How many videos does the user watch? How good is the retention of users? So how many of the users that we newly acquire are retained on the platform and continue on the second, on the third day, a month after the first usage to continue the platform? And then what is the purchase conversion? So what is the conversion of a user to an actual purchase? You have seen this slide many times, so I'm going to focus only on the right side of the slide a little bit. We continue to improve our user economics. We have been able to maintain the level of 25 euro cents as per new active user, and also the retention has continued to show a positive development, which is very important in developing the platform further. As we've had quite a few questions over the course of the last couple of months on why actually did you choose India as a first market, I have put on the slide a couple of facts that are important, or have been important in our decision to focus on India and not on Germany. The Indian economy at the moment is growing very dynamically. So for 2023, there's a growth expected in the region of 7 to 8%. For the total economic. Even more important is that India has a very young demographic. 65% of the Indian population is below 35. It's a population that's very interested in trying new things and adapting to the digital development of e-commerce, and therefore kind of we have a good demographic, let's say, tailwind on that. And the last and most, or not most, but also very important issue for us was that it's an economy where we can scale efficiently based on the funds that Julie has available. And since I said in the beginning, a marketplace requires offer and demand to match. So you need to develop most, you need to develop this to a critical mass. And the total investment required in order to develop Julie to this level of critical mass in India is roughly one tenth of what that investment would have been in Europe. And therefore, we decided to go to India. Last but not least, the fact that TikTok has been forbidden in India obviously helped in that decision. In the Q1 call, we reported that we have now launched the real-time feed for Julie in India. So we decided that we have enough content so that whenever a user comes to the platform, the feed of the platform updates. It's offering every five interactions. So every five interactions, the feed is recalculated based on what the user is actually seeing. And you see that the real-time feed has resulted in a continuous improvement of the engagement of the users. We have come from a share of roughly 10 to 15% of impressions, of more than 30 impressions during one session, to currently 22%, and that continues to increase. So the engagement of the users after launching the real-time feed has been very positive. And also, if you come to the next slide, the average impressions per session. So the total average impression is now at 27, and also here you see kind of the spike that has started after the launch of the real-time feed, and this continues to grow. Where we have still a little bit room to cover is the average clicks per session that went down a little bit, and I can explain you why. We are constantly monitoring the user demographics that we are getting, and there was one specific group of users, older men from rural areas in India, that were not really completing purchases on the websites of the merchants, but playing around with this app quite a lot, and we decided to exclude that group from our marketing efforts, because it doesn't make sense to acquire users who, after playing around with the app, don't complete a purchase. And therefore, we have excluded this from our marketing mix, which has resulted in a short-term decline in clicks per session. But as you can see, in August and also after the launch of the real-time feed, that has come back to a growth perspective, and we expect that this is going to continue to grow, in particular after the launch of JulyPay. So what are going to be the main focus points during the second half of the year? Obviously, we're right ahead of our most important strategic project for the year 2023, which is the launch of JulyPay. We have JulyPay in beta testing at the moment, and so far the beta test looks very good. So we assume that we're going to launch JulyPay within the month of August. Obviously, as always in beta testing, if we find one serious bug that we haven't found so far, that could be delayed. But at the moment, we do not see any kind of delay happening, so we should be able to launch JulyPay in August, and this then will be the crucial point, because after that we will not only see whether people are also interested in buying products on the platform and completing the purchases, but also we can optimize our entire marketing campaign from interaction to conversion. Because at the moment, the digital marketing campaign on all channels, so whether this is on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Google, is optimized on interaction. So we say back to Google, back to Meta, when we get a new user, yes, we like this user because this user interacts with the platform. And in the future, we will be able to feedback the information, yes, we like this user because this user actually buys a product on the platform, which is a much more powerful information for Meta and for Google to optimize their campaigns. And that will be a very important milestone moving forwards. Together with that, there will be a full makeover of the onboarding process in Julie. So we will see with a number of A/B tests that we're currently planning on how can we onboard new customers to the app in a way that they continue to buy products. Do they like to have an introductory video, or do we need just to have a couple of introductory graphics? Should they onboard on the search and find function, or should they onboard just with a first video? What kind of video should that be? So that kind of will be something that we'll be looking at for the next couple of months after launching JulyPay. And then furthermore, as you can see behind me, we're making good progress with our Julie virtual reality app. The studio is working now. We are finalizing kind of the initial setup. We can now happily interact with between one presenter and up to five avatars in a presentation of products. And we assume that together with the launch of the Apple Vision Pro in the first quarter of 2024, we will also have our virtual reality app on the Apple Vision Pro. So I'm going to give back to Florian, who's going to explain to you what kind of the spillover effects of all this innovation in Julie is going to be on our Julie hashtag 100, Juvelo hashtag 100 project.
Exactly. Thanks, Wolfgang. Yeah. Let me give you a quick overview on hashtag Juvelo 100. And in general, we believe that the e-commerce industry will massively change in the upcoming years, away from static online shops, static platforms that follow a catalog logic, towards highly personalized virtual shopping experiences. And with our core jewelry business, we are already outperforming the market, which shows that we are doing the right investments. And moreover, as Wolfgang has said, thanks to the many positive experiences and learnings we are gaining with jewelry, we have a significant investment advantage that brings us into a great position to benefit from these massive e-commerce changes. And based on this, for our core business, Juvelo, we have launched this program, #Juvelo100. The target is to bring the revenue to 100 million euro by 2030. And to this end, we have, as you can see on this slide, developed several growth projects in five main areas. So, of course, our focus will always remain video shopping. Video shopping is probably the main pillar of our business model. It brings clearly higher customer lifetime values compared to all static shops or platforms. It has great conversion rates. It allows to transport both effects and emotions, and it really puts the focus on inspirational shopping. The second main topic is artificial intelligence. The projects in this area will help us to improve efficiency and improve output in operations, decrease cost, but also improve sales by, for example, predicting customer behavior, understand better product preferences, improve merchandise strategies, etc. And to give you an example of a little project, we will soon launch an IA sales assistant on WhatsApp that will understand customer needs, that will make product suggestions to customers, and that can directly sell the product within WhatsApp just by a customer writing, "Yes, please buy." Also, artificial intelligence provides the data for the third point written here, personalization. We have already made good progress in personalizing our marketing and web shop, which has also led to the growth and the outperformance of the market. But the main target is to create a fully personalized shopping experience in all digital sales channels, inspiring customers with products that are perfectly adapted to their preferences. We have also the area of cross-border e-commerce managed out of Berlin. We are developing projects to significantly increase our market presence and our visibility in all European countries. And finally, based on the learnings we are doing with Julie, based on learnings we did with augmented reality shopping functions at Juvelo, we are creating projects to benefit from virtual reality shopping, which will really be, we can say, a revolution of e-commerce and will allow customers to have an immersive home shopping experience. So, in summary, with #Juvelo100, we are laying the grounds for profitable mid to long-term growth for our core business. I will now hand you over to Riyad for the financials of H1 and Q2 2023.
Good morning. Let us come to the financials and to the main points there. I'm very happy to report that Elomia returns to growth in Q2 1, and as Florian said, we outperformed the market. We grew in Q2 by 4.3%. In fact, there are several factors, so in order like to really sublime like this growth. The first part is also what we have to take into account concerning H1, that in H1, we had a partly strong growth in the previous year until the war in Ukraine, and all European countries were in lockdown. The second factor is an internal factor. Of course, we restructured the Italian TV business, and this was accompanied by highly disproportional high savings and reach costs. This contributed roughly to one-third of the decline in H1. Overall, good news, in Q2, Elomio outperforms the market, despite all overall customer reticence. Gross profit. Overall, the margin is above 50% in H1 as well as in Q2. In H1, we had a decline of 6.3%. In Q2, the decline slowed down by just 4%. Hereby, we have to take into account that the Italian TV business impacted by 1 percentage point. SG&A costs. For us, as we started our cost program in Q1, it was very important to decrease the costs. In H1, we succeeded in decreasing the costs by 6%. In Q2, with a higher impact of the cost-saving program, costs decreased by 13.1%, which were the main drivers. The first point were the reach costs. Reach costs decreased in H1 by 7.4% and in Q2 by 14.2%, also mainly driven by the restructuring of the Italian TV business. As Florian already said, it was quite important for us to optimize our marketing investments. And I think it's a very good news that despite stable marketing costs, we succeeded in generating an increase in customers. Furthermore, an important point was a decrease in personnel costs. Personnel costs decreased in H1 by 10.1% and in Q2 by 15.5%. EBITDA, our core KPIs, our adjusted EBITDA. In Q1, we had a negative EBIT or a negative adjusted EBITDA. Right now, we succeeded to generate a positive adjusted EBITDA, not only in Q2, but of course, overall in H1. What were the main drivers which we adapted? One part was where the cost of Julie, which amounted to roughly 0.4 million in H1, these costs were not capitalized. On the other hand, we had the readjustment of the share program, which impacted by roughly 0.2 million euro. We confirm our outlook, and this is the main point. We say we expect that our sales will be in the mid-positive and mid-negative single-digit percentage corridor. Our webshop is in a good path, and so we expect the sales growth this year in the low single-digit percentage range. Our gross profit is expected to be stable at above 50%, and adjusted EBITDA is to be expected in the low single-digit million range.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to switch on my microphone. Yeah, thanks, Riad. So this was the presentation of our H1 Q2 financial earnings. So I would now like to open the Q&A session. It would be great if you have a question, if you could raise your hand with the Zoom function. So my colleague Boris will be able to give you the microphone. And I think one of the first hands I saw was from Mr. Frey.
Hello, gentlemen. Well, nice to see you back to growth. Actually, you're probably starting first on the Julie business. Sorry, on the Elovio business. You mentioned the better performance of your new assortment. Has there been any change in price point? I saw your average price point was surprisingly actually even up in the second quarter. So is this more a question of offering better price value, or is this more statistical artifact of the small base that we are seeing here?
It really depends on the collections. Of course, customers are, as I said in the beginning, quite picky. They think about every purchase twice. So for us, it's always important to have some product lines with a great price value. For our new customer acquisition, it was also important to have a lot of silver jewelry in the less expensive price ranges. And overall, it was about creating the right mix for the different customer groups we had. So there's not an easy qu answer to this question. It's rather an adaptation to the changed customer preferences according to the different customer groups we have.
Okay, sounds good. And then the 8% revenue uplift on with the AI tool introduction. I'm not sure if I got that correctly. That related to the static backdrop.
Exactly.
Can you probably share a bit more the ingredients, how this precisely worked, and if there's even more potential to roll that out?
Yeah, absolutely. So, since it's an A/B test, currently only 50% of the group is seeing this. So, we are currently only having 50% of this effect. Also, we launched it in the middle of Q2. So, we don't have like the full effect throughout the whole second quarter. So, there's more to come out of this effect. And maybe if we, so you ask a little bit more about the tool itself. If you think about Amazon, the most important thing Amazon has on its page is the little search bar on top of the site. I think more than 90% of the revenue Amazon ma makes starts from this search. So it sounds like a very easy tool, doesn't sound complicated at all, but it's for many customers the start of their shopping experience, the start of the purchase experience, and therefore finding the key to optimize this. And even if customers might type in strange search terms, understanding what customers really need, inspire them with new things that maybe customers didn't directly search, but where we know that they want this. This is the key. And therefore, everything that happens after a customer started to use the search bar is the secret of improving the web shop performance in such a significant way.
Sounds good. So it's basically helping your customers to navigate your really broad inventory.
Exactly,
So,
exactly.
And more or less relating to that one, Illumio 100 has a lot of pillars, and how are you approaching that? Is this a simultaneous attack on all fronts, or do you have broken that down into specific smaller projects in a sequence that you want to work through? AI obviously sounds like a good starting point that you are already working at. Anything we should bear in mind there?
Yes, of course, we broke this down to several projects. It's not a subsequent thing where we first do video shopping, then we do AI, and then we do personalization, because a lot of the areas I presented interact with each other, right? So I can use AI in order to improve the video shopping performance. I can use AI in order to improve the personalization, or said in a better way, I need AI to improve personalization. And together with all these points, I can then grow internationally and improve the cross-border presence with all the learnings and all the things that are currently performing in our German web shop, use them also in the French web shop, in the Spanish web shop, etc. So, yes, of course, there are many smaller projects also. But the five main fields I presented are interacting with each other, and we are doing the projects simultaneously in all of these five areas.
Sounds good. A bit nitty-gritty. I think you mentioned in July you are now at more than 1,500 channels in India. So it sounds a bit pretty much at the level that we talked about in May. Can we assume that this is the reason or the basically you want to actually focus on the users first, and they just more or less didn't put much more money behind that. And basically we see that also in your adjustments, that you've pretty low Julie adjustments in the quarter. Is that the right thinking, or was there anything else behind that?
Not really. At the moment, we are at 1,750 channels, so 1,750 channels as of August. And I'm quite confident that by the end of the year, we're going to surpass the 2,000 channel mark. So we're constantly adding roughly 100 to 150 channels each month. What I meant when I said is that we're focusing no more on the user side is, in the beginning, we continued to increase our investment in channel acquisition all of the time. So we started this with a team of four people in India who were doing channel management. At the moment, the team of channel management in India is roughly 15 people. So we almost quadrupled that figure, but we're not going to increase that figure further. So currently, what the team had in India says, we have kind of the magic formula for channel acquisition. It's a team that works together very nicely, a team that works together with merchants very nicely, and we're not going to increase our investment in that area further. We have shifted our focus more on the user side, and we're heavily investing in the build-up of that, adding a different type of HR or people there. So it's more data analysts, it's more digital marketing experts that we need in order to also roll out more digital user acquisition campaigns, run more A/B tests, and all of that. And that is where we're going to focus. The rate at which we're investing is constantly the same. So we will invest into Julie in this year roughly 1 million to 1.2 million euros in total in the building up of the app. And that is something that we continue to be able to finance out of the cash flow of Illumio's core business.
So it actually low-balled a bit in your charts, basically.
Excuse me? Yeah.
You basically low-balled a bit in your charts. It's all running nice and smoothly.
No. And we're super happy. I mean, up until now, we have invested 2.5 million euros into Julie. So obviously, there's a rationale behind it. We're extremely happy with the development. It's way better than we originally anticipated. I mean, after all, we're a small jewelry company out of Europe. We never thought that we were going to be able to play such a role in the big e-commerce market in India. So it's been developing much better than we expected. And we continue to try to outperform our own expectations.
Sounds good. Yeah, all the best, and looking forward to your data in.
Yes, that's kind of we're totally thrilled for that. Obviously, because basically it's the same as starting a TV channel. We will launch this function, and then we'll be staring at our monitors, waiting for the first order to come.
Well, I'm rewatching Facebook the film to get a feeling.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Frey. Then I see Frederick raising his hand.
Yes, good morning, all. I have basically two questions. My first question is, cost of goods sold is up by 14% year on year and also quarter on quarter. What is the reason for that? This is my first question. And the second question is, could you elaborate a bit on the monetization strategy for Julie? So how is it structured? Who is paying for what? And what is the contribution to total group sales now and prospectively? So maybe in 5 years or 2030?
Okay, maybe let me come to the first point, cost of goods sold in Q2. Of course, we saw an increase, which is driven by these following factors. The first factor is the impact of the Italian business, which makes roughly like for H1, that also has a contribution in Q2 by 1 percentage point. And I think the second point is driven by our merchandise processing. So in fact, we make our orders of merchandise roughly 3 months or 6 months in advance. That means so from starting from Q4, we had certain kind of headwind from exchange rates. And these were implied within our stock. And so in starting with Q2, they showed like their effect.
Okay, regarding the monetization strategy of Julie, Julie generates revenue by charging a commission on the confirmed sales of Julie. So in essence, each merchant sells a product on the platform and Julie generates a commission on that. Up until now, we have not yet disclosed any of the revenue expectations and that we have made for the next years to come, because at the moment that would be a little bit too much guessing from our perspective, because basically in 5 years from now you can anticipate that Illumio Groups generates 5 million euros and that 10 million euros, 15 million euros, depending on how much or how you develop the model predicting these revenues. We will, after running this for roughly 1 quarter, so after the fourth quarter of this year, we will have a sound basis on which we can project these revenues, because then we will not base it on assumptions, but we will base it on real actual numbers. And that is the point when we're also going to start to make some predictions on how this is going to develop. An important factor in this is that regardless of what our revenue expectations are for the Julie business, the way we have set up this business with a very lean team is that we can drive Julie to profitability with very different revenue scenarios. So there are scenarios with rather low levels of revenue, which delivers profitability for Julie, but there's also scenarios with high levels of revenue that obviously deliver higher levels of profitability. So in all scenarios, we have proper profitability perspectives, but what kind of profitability perspective, that is something that we can say once we have sound numbers.
Okay, then I see the hand of Mr. Friedman.
Now you should be able to hear me.
Yes,
Okay.
perfectly. Good morning, Mr. Friedman.
Hi. A lot of some questions that are meant to minimize my misunderstandings. First one on JuliPay. Does the introduction of JuliPay also mean that you will record sales from this business? Or is the customer
Hopefully, hopefully. That is the whole point. So the introduction of
yeah.
JuliPay, the introduction of JuliPay actually is the start of the monetization of the app. So the very first purchase that happens through JuliPay will be a purchase that will be recorded as a sale in Julie and then also in the Illumio numbers. Obviously, as this will be a fully new business, I don't expect revenues to skyrocket on the first week. I expect revenues to start slowly and then to increase constantly, pretty much in the same way as they developed also in Juvelo, because the big, huge factor of video shopping is that it has a very high level of
Customer lifetime value.
customer lifetime value and continued kind of usage of the product. So users come, they use the app, and then they use the app again. So that kind of results in a continued high growth even from a low base.
Yeah.
But how big that will be in 2024 is something I'm
No, no, no.
managing all of our businesses always like the way of Mr. Welch and GE in the 90s. I hope for the best and prepare for the worst. So I always wait until I see the real revenue and then I start to make my predictions.
Yes, no, no, I did not go for 2024. I just wanted to be, make sure that you could have started JulyPay without any share that lands at, in your pocket, but you did not. It will be
Yes,
monetized from day
yes.
one.
No, no. The commission is very low. Kind of the commission in a continued purchase is only 7.5%, which is less than half than any of the competitors and marketplaces in India. So
Yeah.
if merchants are not willing to pay that, then that would be kind of just not enough.
Yeah. Okay. And second question is in your presentation, I did not get this fully. There was a mentioning of a feedback given to Meta whether a customer has bought or not. Did I get this right that there will be a feedback? And if this, well,
that is classic digital marketing strategy everywhere. So basically, how are you spending your digital marketing budget? You are going to Meta, you're going to Google, you're going to TikTok, and you say, I have a budget of, let's say, 100 euros, and I would like to have users. And then these platforms deliver you users, and you're trying to make the setup of your digital marketing campaign that you have a feedback channel back to these platforms, which is an automated feedback channel that says, I like these users or I don't like these users. So that they get, obviously, it's a little bit more complicated than say, I like or I don't like, but you're feedbacking data on what kind of users you are getting so that Meta, Google, TikTok, whoever are able to optimize their digital campaign towards the users that you say you like. And that kind of feedback level depends on what kind of data you're generating on these users. And obviously, the more data you generate on these users, the better you can give feedback to Google and to Meta on what kind of users you're looking for. This is not on individual users. So we don't say Wolfgang has just registered and he's a really cool guy and therefore give us more Wolfgangs, but it's more about what this happens in general, and that's the optimization. Was I able to explain this properly, or?
Yes, yes. I was wondering whether this would be awarded with some kind of kickback from
no.
Meta. This is
no,
not the
no,
case.
No. But it's basically it's in Meta's self-interest, and also it's in Google's self-interest to get as much data on the users they generate, because they obviously want to spend the marketing budget that you give them with the least amount of effort. So the better the users, the better users they deliver to us, the less effort they have and the more marketing campaigns they can run on others. So it's in their best interest. And as everything at the moment, this is also completely AI based. So basically, this is about matching the interfaces between the digital marketing platform and yourself as much as possible, so that you can feedback the information. Their algorithm optimizes the user campaign. Their algorithm decides, okay, in Google's case, for example, it's better to use this on YouTube. It's better to use this on display. It's better to use this in search ads. And then kind of the algorithm decides this automatically and feeds back better users.
Last question on Julie. I've lost track of the actual traffic in absolute numbers that is happening on Julie. So how many people are there per day visiting the site, or whatever number you have?
We have surpassed the 1,000, the 10 million videos played level, and we still kind of the level of traffic that we have per day is pretty stable. So kind of it's growing from the retained users, but kind of our actual users is pretty stable. We have not overly invested into additional traffic at the moment because we are sparing our money for the time after the launch of JulyPay. But I can kind of try to provide some additional figures on that, maybe, and we will just update the presentation that we have, and we put that some traffic figures in there.
So that 10 million videos, that was a per day number?
No, no, 10 million videos is the total amount of videos that we have played in Julie so far.
How much is it per day, roughly, currently?
I don't have that figure in my mind at the moment. It's
Ah,
in a
okay.
couple of thousand videos, a couple of thousand videos per day. But as I have said, that number is a constant figure at the moment. That's a figure, a factor of the investment. So the more money we invest into user growth, the higher the video number is. And as I have said, at the moment, we have been very cautious in investing more money into traffic prior to launch of JulyPay, because kind of the JulyPay, that will be the core important time when we will need to increase our user levels.
Okay, then my last question that would be on Juvelo, I think. Also in your presentation, there was a connection made between Juvelo and WhatsApp. Now I know the Juvelo app, I know WhatsApp. I do not have a link in my mind of these two.
Of course, I understand. We will use the channel WhatsApp. WhatsApp stays exactly what it is. So very commonly used chat function. But we can, as a business, use WhatsApp and and use WhatsApp as a communication channel. In which we communicate with customers, and customers can write, I'm interested in this, I'm interested in that, and then in an automated way, our artificial intelligence can connect data, can provide products and product ideas, show them, and then the customer just needs to write back, yes, this is interesting. I would like to see more of this or something similar, but with another color, or yes, I'll take it. So we don't change anything in WhatsApp. We just use WhatsApp as a channel in order to do the sales.
So if I'm a customer and I've given my mobile number to you, then you will send me some suggestions what you think I could like.
So exactly. So of course, customers have to agree to use this channel, and then that would be a personal sales assistant for you to provide, to inspire you, and to provide you perfectly suitable products.
Okay, thanks a lot. Misunderstandings minimized. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Friedman. And the next person I see is Mr. Pop. Good morning, Mr. Pop.
Good morning. I have two questions concerning Shuli. Why are you implementing your own payment system and not relying on the big payment systems in Asia, like WeChat, Alipay, and all the other payment systems? Because they are not only payment, they also a marketing tool with a tremendous reach to customers. That's the question number one. And the question number two, what about your plans of financing Shuli through an external co-investor, like a venture capital, private equity, whatever? Thank you.
Okay, let's go for the first question first. Why are we doing this with JulyPay and not, for example, with Alipay from Alibaba? Essentially, kind of, we have to do this from the customer's perspective. So we have to offer the payment functions customers are actually using. And Alipay, for example, in India plays virtually no role. So we would be offering a payment system that customers actually are not using. The biggest payment function in India at the moment, with roughly 60 to 70%, is actually cash on delivery. So it means that you place the order, somebody, in our case, Shiprocket, ships the order to the customer, and the customer pays at their door, either in cash or with some or form of digital payment, for example, by mobile phone, by one of the big payment functions in India, like Paytm or PayU. In order to be able to offer cash on delivery, that is something that, by definition, you have to do by yourself, because it's a function that needs to run through your systems in order to manage this correctly, and you cannot hand over cash on delivery to a third party. So this is the reason why we're doing this. All remaining payment functions in India, we will obviously clearly do through a third party. In the beginning, we've said that we continue to develop this together with one of the biggest payment aggregators in India, which is Kotak Mahindra. At the moment, we're also evaluating one other platform, which is more of an international player, in order to see to do that. And these payment providers will offer any kind of additional payment function that we can have. The second question for financing, Julie, we continue to explore options with venture capitalists. We're getting better responses and better responses. So in the beginning, when we were still a long time away from generating revenue, venture capitalists were a little bit hesitant and saying, okay, we would like to see you approaching generating revenue. Obviously, the market environment at the moment is not as good as it was 2 or 3 years ago. At the same time, from Illumio shareholder perspective, and from a perspective of generating shareholder value to all Illumio's shareholders, we have to be very picky with which venture capitalists we are going to finance a possible further expansion of Julie, because once we have a minority shareholder in Julie, the setup of managing Illumio will change a little bit, and we need to factor that into account when talking to venture capitalists, because this is not about kind of just getting one venture capitalist and then this is it. There will possibly be a second round of financing, so a Series B or Series C financing, and all of that needs to be taken into account when making the first investment by a venture capitalist. And this is why we're cautious in developing this, because whenever we get one first venture capitalist into Julie, the road for getting a second and a third investment needs to be very clearly thought through. And at the moment, we continue to be able to develop the platform out of our own cash flow, which obviously generates the biggest amount of shareholder value for Illumio shareholders, because they continue to own 100% of Julie.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Pop. So I see no further questions. Therefore, many thanks for your time. Thanks for your continued trust and interest in our company. Have a great day and bye-bye.